I need to tell you a little story. I just put a mint in my mouth. And there was this pastor who always put a mint in his mouth, and he knew that when the mint had dissolved, the sermon was over. So this one day, he puts his mint in his mouth, and he starts preaching and preaching and preaching. And people are looking at their watch, and they're shuffling in their seats, and they're taking their book. And so he thought, well, I'm going to end this sermon. So he says, amen, and that's it. And when he reaches in his pocket to see, or in his mouth to see what had happened, he had picked a button up and put it in his mouth. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a mint. It's not a button, it's a mint. I want to thank the United Methodist Women for inviting me here today to share the word with you. I especially want to thank Lori. She's been my confidant and my liaison between myself and the United Methodist Women. She has been very faithful to me this morning. She's been standing by me the whole time. And I also want to thank Pastor Mark for allowing me to come and stand behind his pulpit and share the word with you. When he just has trust and he just has faith, and I thank him, and I hope that they're having a great time in Hawaii. I love you guys, but Hawaii would be nice. I can't, you know. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. There was an angel that was sent down from heaven, and he was instructed to find the three most beautiful things that he could find on earth. And in his search, he found a beautiful rose, a baby's smile, and a mother's love. And as he started back up to heaven, he found that the rose had faded, the smile was gone, but the mother's love remained. Proverbs 31 is unusual. I'm using it because it is United Methodist Women's Sunday. It's usually just read and preached on Mother's Day or sometimes at a funeral because it is known as the Proverbs 31 woman. It is different than all the other Proverbs because it's written as a beautiful acrostic poem. The first letter of each verse, the 22 verses in Proverbs 31, each verse starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you look at your insert that I had made up in your bulletin, you will see that I have given you the character, I've given you the name, the pronunciation of the character, and also the meaning. The rabbis used this method so that they could remember the scripture. It makes it a little bit easier if you've got something to help you remember. I use acrostics a lot in my teaching and in my preaching. If you look at your paper on number 19, letter 19, it's Q-O-P-H. Do we have anybody in here that plays Scrabble? Anybody play Scrabble? Love to do words? Well, let me tell you, the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, quaf, Q-O-P-H, is the only word that you can legally use on a Scrabble board using the Q without a U. Aren't you glad to know that? Yeah. I mean, you'll sound impressive with your neighbors when you're playing, and they'll say, no, that's not a word. Well, it is. Q-O-P-H, it's not a proper noun. You can use it on the Scrabble board. Proverbs 31, when we've read it, thank you, Lori, for doing that. When we have read the whole section, this woman works really hard. And so, men, Proverbs 31 does not give you permission to do nothing around the house. It also doesn't give you permission to hound your beloved wife. And ladies, it was not written for you to feel guilty because you cannot add one more thing into your busy agenda. Gentlemen, don't think that this is going to be a chick sermon and you can't go to sleep, because it's not just about women. It's about Christians. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you right now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all the hearts sitting here are one with you because you are our rock and our Redeemer. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. A wife of noble character who can find. Wonder if we change that to say a Christian of noble character who can find. Noble character. Well, how do we even know if we qualify? How do we know if we have noble character? Well, to me, the first thing to do would be see what it means. And noble means the outstanding qualities of a person's life, or it could mean that it's a high birth, or it could mean that it's an exalted rank, like if you're in royalty, your rank in royalty could be noble. Character is one of the attributes or features that make up or distinguish an individual. Our character is who God knows us to be. Our reputation is who we think we are. And there's a big difference. J.R. Miller wrote, "The only thing that walks away from the tomb with the mourners and will never be buried is a man's character. What a man is survives him, and it can never be buried." And there's something more important than just what people think of us after we're dead. What's more and far important is the impact that we've made when we were still here on earth. Noble character isn't gender specific. It reflects all of our lives. In Galatians, Paul says, "There's neither male nor female, free or slave, Jew or Gentile, for we are all one in the body of Christ." Christ gives us the model to follow. By putting on his robe of righteousness and holiness, we are to turn from the world's sinful values. By following his ways, we now are able to grow our Christian maturity towards perfection. And we learn to love others as Christ loves us. How are we compared as Christians of noble character to the character of Christ or to the Proverbs 31 woman? And I thought about that, and I'm like, wow, who can live up to this woman? Look at all she does. Does she ever sleep? Wow. And then I thought about it. When I was a young wife and a mother, I would have told people, like, I'm pretty close to her. I can do what she does. I made my children's clothes. I made sure that there was fresh fruits and vegetables in the kitchen. I got up early to make sure that everything was ready for my children to go to school and my husband to go to work. My investments were more with my time than our money that we didn't have. But my husband did turn his paycheck over to me because he trusted me to pay the bills and to make sure that everything was done. And maybe, just maybe, I imparted some wisdom in our three children. Wow, look at me. I'm the Proverbs 31 woman. But then I thought about that phrase, that verse later on in the scripture, and it says, "And she fears the Lord." I've only been a Christian for about 20 years. Before that, I actually was playing church. I did all the right things. We went to church. We looked good. The kids went to church. They went to Sunday school. But I didn't know what everything meant. I didn't know about the Proverbs 31 woman. And my fear of the Lord was that he would take me away from my husband and my children before I was ready to go. Because after all, there wasn't anybody that could take care of my family the way I could. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, if you're not in Christ, there is somebody else that can take my place? but I didn't think anybody could take my place. And when we look at these qualities read in these 22 verses, all of the qualities that this woman had, then we need to realize it's not just for women, that it's for Christians. And how we are supposed to honor the God who gave us those qualities. And when you think of it like that, not just it's women's work, but it's Christians' work, it takes on a whole new meaning. And as I read through these verses, I came up with four qualities that I think a Christian of a noble character needs. The first one is being trustworthy and being industrious. And we need to care, and we need to be God-fearing. The prophet Micah says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good, what is required of you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." We have been chosen to be a part of God's family. He has given us his special gifts and his promises. But are we worth it? Can he trust us with such a gift? Our scripture today tells us that we're more valuable than rubies. Can he really trust us with such a precious and priceless gift? Does he receive our love, our honor, obedience, and respect in return for those precious gifts? And are we willing to walk humbly before him? These are hard questions sometimes. Try to remember back when you were planning your wedding. There was so many preparations. You had to find a place first to get married. You had to find a place for the reception. You had to pick the colors, the flowers, go pick out the tuxedos and the bridesmaids' dresses. And the cake just didn't have to taste great. It had to look spectacular. And of course, the most important part for the wedding was the wedding dress. You had to pick the perfect wedding dress. This was supposed to be the most wonderful, perfect day of your whole life. God wants that same experience with us today. In the Old and New Testaments, it tells us many times that God is our husband. In Isaiah 54, it says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." And in 2 Corinthians, it says, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you one husband to Christ so that I may present you as a pure virgin before him." We are the bride of Christ, and that includes all of you macho men. You are the bride of Christ. Jesus in Matthew 22 tells his disciples about the wedding feast. He talks about a man who comes to the wedding feast and he doesn't have on the right clothing. It doesn't matter. It's not his physical clothing that we're talking about. We don't care what people wear to church. We're not judgmental. They can wear what they want to church. But what he didn't put on was the righteousness of Christ. He didn't put on Jesus. Jesus said that there will be many that are called and invited, but few will be chosen. Jesus has chosen us to be joint heirs with him. We are a part of his royal priesthood. We are more precious than gold or jewels to him. He loves us more than gold, and he loves us more than jewels. No matter how great you think your marriage is right now, or how great your marriage was, now think about being married to the great I am. The gift is free. Are we really trustworthy to be his bride? As Christians of noble character, we need to be habitually busy for Christ. We have a lot of work to do before he returns. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people in the state and in the world that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. He has commanded us to go out to all nations, baptizing and preaching the good news. And we need to remember that it's not just our words that are important, it's our actions. It's our actions. When I teach the lay speaking course, which is now the lay servant course, I tell my class, be careful what you say and what you do, because you might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. And if you think back over some things that you might have said or that you might have done, people are going to say, if that's being a Christian, I don't want any part of it. What we want people to say is, I don't know what you have, but I want it. That's what should happen. It says that for every soul that is saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. And we need to make sure that our actions and our words are giving joy in heaven. The Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your strength and all of your soul. And take these commandments and put them in your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk to them about the scriptures when you're walking and when you're sitting and when you lay down and when you get up. All you need to do is tell them about the scriptures. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about God. Our children and our grandchildren are our future. We are their role models, or we should be their role models, not someone on TV or on the sports field. We should be their role models. I want my grandchildren to know the word of God more than they know the words of a rap song. I want my family to know who's first in my life and that I choose and I want to live a Christ-like life. My granddaughter thinks that I have God on speed dial on my cell phone. She thinks that every day that he and I text message back and forth. Isn't that great? Isn't that what we want? That our family sees us so in communication with God that they think they're on speed dial? Or that if there's a problem, that they can come to me or you or whatever and say, Nani, can you talk to God for me? We need to be diligent about God's work. A Christian of noble character is caring and compassionate. Our Proverbs woman not only took care of her family, but she took care of the less fortunate in her community. All throughout the Bible, it tells us that we need to take care of the widows and the orphans and the poor because they're always going to be with us. And that's been proven. They're always going to be with us. And when we take care of the powerless, these powerless people, the church, you and I, are putting God's words into action. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. And when I was in prison, you came to visit me. And the disciple says, Lord, when did we ever do that for you? We don't remember. And Jesus says, when you do it to the least of these, my brother, you have done it unto me. When was the last time that we visited a stranger in the nursing home when we went to visit family or friends? Have we ever written a letter to someone in prison or even in the military that you didn't know? Have you ever shared the gospel with someone that you didn't know? Jesus says that we're to get out of our comfort level and we're just to love others. And folks, believe me, I'm preaching this to myself. because I have a problem getting out of my comfort zone sometimes. But Jesus says, we need to do it. I have a friend that years ago, she volunteered at the soup kitchen. She wanted to be a part of the soup kitchen. So she went down there, and the people started coming through the line, and she thought, wow, these people are dirty and they smell. Certainly, this isn't what God wanted me to do. And so she prayed to God, and she said, Lord, let me see these people through your eyes. And God said to her, that is my child, just like you are my child. And she took on a whole different attitude with those people. And now they call her Miss Huggy, because she goes to the soup kitchen early so that she can give everybody a hug, and she shares the scripture with them while they're waiting outside for the door to be unlocked. When was the last time we stepped out of our comfort zone for Christ? And finally, a Christian of noble character, continue following the guidelines of the Proverbs woman, is that we need to be God-fearing. And as I said earlier, I thought that the fear of God was that I was actually supposed to be afraid of God. And I know that that's not so, because our God is mighty, and he's awesome, and he's powerful, and he's majestic. We should want to show reverence and awe to him. God is so good that we should hate anything that is evil. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It means to be obedient. Jesus said in John 14, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Obedience should just become second nature to us, and we should want to just have it spring forth because we love God that much. And it certainly is a much better motive than the fear of punishment. Love is freely given, and our desire should be to delight God. Our obedience is unselfish and gives all the glory to our Lord. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. As a Christian of noble character, we possess wisdom and knowledge that only can come from a great God. I want to repeat my story that I started my message with. There was an angel came down from heaven, and he was to find the three most beautiful things on earth. And what he found was a beautiful rose, a baby's smile, and a Savior's love. And as he went back to heaven, he found that the rose faded, the baby's smile was gone, but the Savior's love remained, along with his grace and his mercy and his promise of eternal life. Do you have your wedding garments on? Have you put on the righteousness of Christ? Are you ready to emulate Christ, the qualities that he has shown us, that we can serve him and love him, be obedient, and be humbled to our God? Because the bridegroom is waiting for all of his brides. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to share this message with you. Lord, I just pray that everyone here wants to be a Christian of noble character. You have shown us how to do it, and now we just take your words, and we take your attitudes and what you've shown us, and go out into the world, get out of our comfort zone, and love others. And it's in your name we pray.